I want to ask a question that God asked the first man he made. The question is posed for us in verse 9 of Genesis 3, when the Lord God called the man and said to him, "Where are you?" So the question I want to ask every man today on Father's Day is, Adam, where are you? This is a question that was posed by God. Now, there is a crisis in the garden. You know the story of the subtle serpent who came in and who brought havoc to Adam and Eve. When they sinned against God's word, the text lets us know that they hid from God. When they sinned against God, they ran from God. God makes his presence, as was his habit, during the cool of the day, during that period of time each day set aside for his interaction and fellowship with Adam and Eve. God comes for fellowship during that time of day, and Adam is not at his post. He does not say, "Adam and Eve, where are y'all?" It says, he said to the man, "Adam, where are you?" The question is posed to Adam because, irrespective of who did what first, he was the responsible agent in the garden. So the reason that Adam is nowhere to be found is that Adam is outside of God's will. You didn't hear that. The reason why the man was not at his assigned post is that the man was outside of the will of God. We are told that he and his wife, from the presence of the Lord. Why are we having trouble today finding Adam? Finding men manning their post at home, at church, in society? Why are we having such a hard time finding men? We're having a hard time because far too many men have decided to function outside of the will and the word of the Lord. And there's only one reason you function outside of the will and the word of the Lord, and that is sin. And out of chaos and confusion came stability and order because God spoke. It says, and God said, let there be. God stepped into history in the midst of darkness, and he opened up his mouth. He spoke. And when he spoke, in darkness and chaos, order and stability replaced it. Now follow me. God then made man, male and female, in his own image. But he did not make them in his own image simultaneously. He made them progressively. That is, he made the male first, and then he made the female second. Before he made the female, he made the male to get him ready for the female. So in order to to get the male ready for the female, God made the man first to prepare him for his role as head, leader. The first thing he told him to do was to tend the garden. He gave him a job. Because if he was going to lead Eve, he needed to be responsible. If he was going to fulfill this divine calling of transforming creation and managing creation as the steward of God, then he was going to have to learn responsibility. And so God gave him that in the garden before there was an Eve. Then he gave him his word. He gave him work. Then he gave him his word. Chapter 2, verse 16. And the Lord commanded the man, saying, from any tree of the garden you may freely eat, but the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you may not eat from it. The day you eat from it, that day you will die. So he gives him work. And now he gives him his word. Now he does something else. God gives him his method. How did God manage creation before he made Adam? He managed creation by naming. He went into the darkness where things were pitch black, and he said, and let there be. And that's what it was. Verse 18, chapter 2. Then the Lord God said, it is not good for man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him. And out of the ground the Lord formed every beast of the field, every bird of the sky, and brought them to man to see what he would call them. And whatever the man called a living creature, that was its name. And the man gave names to all the cattle, to the birds of the sky, to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper suitable for him. But right now, I want to focus on the fact, whatever he called it, that's what it became. It didn't become until Adam said what it was. And once Adam said what it was, that's what it was. In other words, the animal conformed to the name it was given. I'm going somewhere. But he didn't just name animals. God now fashions Eve. It says God created Adam, but he fashioned Eve. God brings Eve to Adam. And the man said, this is bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. And ladies, you have been called women ever since. Because Adam named you. Satan understood what God was doing with Adam. He was preparing Adam for his managerial role in creation. So the serpent skips Adam and goes to Eve. The serpent starts speaking with the woman. He's talking to her in chapter 3, verse 1, chapter 3, verse 2, chapter 3, verse 3, chapter 3, verse 4, chapter 3, verse 5. In chapter 3, verse 6, the woman sees the fruit. It's delightful. She eats it, and she gives it to her husband, who was, watch this, with her. between chapter 2 and chapter 3, Adam forgot who he was. In the course of one chapter, the leader becomes the responder. The responder becomes the leader. The woman takes over. The man relinquishes his reign. He gave up his role. The reason why God says, Adam, where are you? Is because it was your responsibility to speak. The problem in chapter 3 is that the woman was deceived. But the bigger problem in chapter 3 is that the man had nothing to say. What you have in chapter 3 that brings about this problem is the silence of Adam. Up until this time, he's been talking. He's been naming things. He's been working alongside of God and God's word, putting things in order. But when the snake shows up, he has nothing either to say to the snake nor to the woman. He sits back passively and allows the two to interact with each other. And he's listening to the conversation because verse 6 says he was with her. But not only that, the woman then turns around and says, honey, this is the new agenda for our home. We are going to eat this fruit for dinner. And he says, okay. He says, okay. Yeah, I know it's the fruit we're not supposed to eat. I know it's what God told us not to eat, but okay. He responds to the woman. He has not yet uttered a word until God shows up. And the reason he is condemned is he listened to his wife. Look at chapter 3, verse 17. Then to Adam, God said, because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree about which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat from it, cursed. One of the reasons that so many of our children are living under a curse, that so many of our homes are living under a curse, that so many of our churches are living under a curse, that so much of our culture is living under a curse, is Adam has nothing to say. He's hiding. Because he forgot what he was made to be. He was condemned because of his silence. As long as he was talking, as long as he was naming things, as long as he was calling things, then things were adjusting to whatever he said it was. But the moment he stopped talking, Eve started talking. And Eve didn't stop talking until all hell broke loose. So God is now looking for Adam, not because he doesn't know where he is. He wants Adam to fess up. Then the Lord called, verse 9, to man and said, where are you? And he said, I heard the sound of thee in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid myself. God said, who told you you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree where I've commanded you not to eat? In verse 12, and the man said, the woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me from the tree and I ate. How do you know this man is naked, afraid, and running from God? He does not take responsibility. He puts it on somebody else. Notice how he's running. Verse 7. Then the eyes of both of them were open, and they knew they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves a loin covering. They come up, watch this now, borrowing from God's creation in order to satisfy the God who created it. They come up with a human solution to a spiritual problem. The problem was, they knew fig leaves couldn't fix it. So now, when they hear the voice of God coming in verse 8, they're hiding amidst the trees. Because fig leaves weren't doing it. Adam's silence led to a curse. We read it in verse 17. Because you listened to the voice of your wife, cursed. Cursed. Let me say a word about the curse. The curse was a physical curse. They would die. It was an economic curse. There would be no productivity in the ground. There was a relational curse. He says you and your mate are going to be battling all the time now. There was a painful curse. She was going to have labor pains in childbirth. It's a curse. Any men here feel cursed today? You feel cursed. You feel cursed. If you feel cursed, it's because you're silent. And you're listening to the wrong word. He's now living with guilt and shame. He's naked. Because the leaves are not doing it. His knowledge base has brought confusion. Because now he doesn't just know good. He knows good and evil. And this means wherever you have good and evil, you have conflict. You cannot have good and evil and not have mess. Mess. Because good and evil are trying to hang out together. God makes a prophecy. In verse 15, he says, I will put enmity between you, the serpent, and the woman, and between your seed and her seed, and he will bruise you on the head, and you will bruise him on the heel. This is one of the great prophecies in the Bible predicting that the woman was going to have a baby one day that would take care of the snake. Prophecy long term about Jesus Christ. But now let me bring this home. Adam, where are you? If you're a man here, you were created to name, to speak into darkness and chaos as God spoke into darkness and chaos, and your voice is supposed to bring order. We close with verses 20 and 21. Now. Say now, men.
Now.
All right. The man called his wife's name Eve because she was the mother of all the living. Let me go slow. Now the man called his wife's name Eve because she was the mother of all living. But we got a problem. Mama ain't had no baby yet. Eve hadn't gotten pregnant yet. Eve doesn't get pregnant till chapter 4. But he calls her Eve in chapter 3. And it tells you what the name Eve means. Eve means mother of the living. producer of the offspring. And you say, okay, what's that got to do with it? Well, let's talk about that. First of all, he's already given her a name when he got married. He calls her woman. Remember in chapter 2? But now, he gives her another name. And it tells you what that name meant. Why does God want us to know what the word Eve meant? Because there was a reason he chose that name. Why did Adam call his wife Eve mother of the living? Because God had made a prophecy in chapter 3, verse 15, that the woman would bear a seed, and the seed of the woman would stomp the head of the serpent. He made a prophecy about what was going to happen with this woman's baby. And guess what Adam said? Adam said, it's time to get back in my role. What was his role? To name things, remember? But all the time he got silent, but he decided, let me take responsibility for this situation. Eve, I'm going to give you another name. You're not going to just be woman. You're going to be Eve, because you're going to be mother of the living one that God just talked about. So what did Adam do? He went back to the word of God. He went back to what God said and said, I'm going to name you based on what God says, because I believe God, even though you're not even pregnant. He went back and took responsibility for his role. So what are you to do? Take your role back. But when Adam took his role back and named his wife according to God's word, so he took his biblical role back, God stepped in. It says, God did not step in until he called her Eve. But once he called her Eve, showing he had returned to God's word as the rule of his life, the text says, then God created clothing. Let me just say a couple words about that. Number one, the fact God created it means what they created themselves was insufficient. A lot of us are creating our own clothes and wondering why things are still not working. You're covered with the wrong stuff. You're covered with stuff of your creating. God covered them with what satisfied him, because he provided it. Now, what satisfied him? An animal that was innocent. Animal had nothing to do with these two people. Why we got their skin, the skin of animals? Why are we covered with skin of animals when the animal didn't do anything? Because in order for them to be able to be covered by God, somebody else had to pay. God provides them his own righteousness. You see, every man and every woman who names the name of Jesus Christ, God's got a new set of clothes. You may be dressed in fig leaves, your own human solutions. You may have tried to stitch together solutions. You may have gone on vacation, a fig leaf vacation. You may have gone to fig leaf counseling and bought fig leaf jewelry. You may have purchased a fig leaf car, gone to a fig leaf house, and tried to give birth to a fig leaf baby, hoping that somehow these fig leaves would cover you up. And God has another question. What God wants to know is, Adam, where are you? This thing won't be right until you return to your role. You say, but my wife, stop talking to me about your wife. Talk to me about you. Let me provide the skin when you take back your role. Let me be God when you take back your role. Let me cover this situation. In fact, I want to cover this situation so bad, I killed my son to provide you a covering for your situation, but you got to take back your role. You've got to become a man who speaks into the darkness, who does not run from the darkness, who does not hide in the trees, but who steps out from the darkness and says, this is your name. So the question on the floor is the question we started with. Adam, where are you? Have you become a sissified male? Have you become a punk? Have you gotten soft? Have you become a chump? Or are you willing to stand up responsibly and lovingly and biblically and say, as for me and my house,